is the passage around which our study will revolve. And you may title, if you choose, the lesson, Confidence in the Divine. Solution. Confidence in the Divine Solution. We are going to be asking that the passage be read again. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through verse 11.
Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined.
Now, I'm going to ask Jonathan, if you will, to read for us verse 10 again. Because that's the key verse in respect to the lesson and even the title, Confidence in the Divine Solution. Let us hear verse 10 again.
But he knoweth the way that I take.
But God, that is, knoweth the way. In fact, the King James translated the way that I take, but more correctly, is the way that is in me. Read.
When he had tried me.
When he had tried me and Job knew what trial was. When he has tried me.
I shall come forth as gold.
I shall come forth as gold. Every grown, responsible person, man, woman, and even some teenagers, people who are rational, either had or will have trials, problems, testing, and challenges of one sort or the other. There is no grown man, Christians or non-Christians, that is immune to or exempt from trials and problems and challenges. In fact, Job 14, verse 1 and chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 implied the reality of trials in the lives of all of us. Job chapter 14, 1 and then 5, 6 and 7.
Man that is born of a woman.
Man that is born of a woman.
Is a few days.
Is a few days. Watch here.
And full.
Hold it. The 60 years that we live. The 70, the 80, the 100 years that we live. in Job's way of thinking. And in the divine way of looking on things, they are really few days. Read on.
And full of trouble.
They are full of trouble.
He cometh forth like a flower.
Uh-huh.
And is cut down.
Uh-huh.
He fleeth also as a shadow.
Where are you reading?
That is verse 2.
No, step now to chapter 5, 6 and 7.
For affliction does not come from the dust.
Affliction does not come from the dust.
Nor does trouble spring from the ground.
Trouble does not come from the ground.
Yet man is born to trouble.
Yet man is
born to trouble.
Born in or with or for trouble.
As the sparks fly upward.
Uh-huh. The passage just read is telling us that we are going to experience trouble. In fact, I don't know if you noticed that we pride ourselves in living in a modern, civilized world. What you notice with a little thinking is that as civilization advances, as we make what we call progress socially, economically, that progress comes with more challenges. The man feels good that he doesn't have to ride anymore in his cart pulled by a donkey. And for the most part, he doesn't have to depend on his bicycle. Therefore, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, when people going places and having some load to carry, you have your we call it the dray, or the Bible called chariot, pulled by an animal. But these days we throw away that and we buy our cars, and that tells us that we are mother. But then the police will stop you and point out that your certificate of fitness needs to be updated. And by the time you get that done, he'll stop you again and tell you that the piece of paper you put on the windscreen to show that you have a right to be on the road, that need to be paid. And by the time you realize it, the insurance company says you notice that your insurance is going to be due. And then the insurance company tell you that you will have to get the car value for them to determine how much. And these are some of the challenges. Now, when you have your dray, your car pulled by a donkey, you didn't have all of that problem. So, you see, what we call modern and advanced in civilization, it comes with its own challenges. No doubt we are so stressed. Because almost everything that will look on as being civilized, modern, making progress, they all come with challenges. Some trials and challenges and problems, they are going to leave indelible mark on some of us for the rest of our lives. In Job 23, I think, let me hear 22:21.
Acquaint now thyself with him.
That's the passage. Eliphaz, Job's friend, is speaking. Eliphaz made a wise suggestion to Job. Let me hear it.
Acquaint now thyself with him.
Acquaint yourself with God. Meaning, get to know God. You know, that's a wise suggestion. And I'm giving it to everyone who will listen this morning. Get to know God. Read on, brother.
And be at peace.
And be at peace.
Thereby good shall come unto thee.
Thereby good shall come to thee. When this suggestion was made by Eliphaz, Job's friend, Job at this time was going through deep darkness. Job was experiencing problems upon problems, confusion, perplexities, and challenges. So Job now replied to Eliphaz in 3 through 4. He is replying. Remember, Eliphaz made the suggestion that he should acquaint himself with God. Get to know God. Job replied in 23, verse 3 and 4. Let us hear it.
Oh, that I knew where I might find him.
It's like Job is saying, yes, I'm dying to get to know God. But this anxiety to know God. I want to have a personal chat with God. I want us to sit down and talk. Why?
That's
because of what I am going through. Oh, that I may what, brother?
Might come even to his seat.
Come even to where he sits. Read on.
I would order my cause before him.
That's it. You see, you and I can always talk about Job. But for us to experience what this man experienced is a different kettle of fish. And one of Job's problems that he wanted a discussion with God. What he said, dear brother?
That I might come even to his feet.
Mm-hmm.
I would order my cause before him.
I will pour out my cause before him. Don't you feel like that sometimes? And you know, there are times when brothers, sisters, you are experiencing issues and challenges and confusion, and you want answers. You are perplexed. You pray to God, and it is as if things remain the same. Yet you know that there is a God. Job felt like that. What you have just finished, verse 4.
And fill my mouth with arguments.
Mm-hmm.
End of 4.
Among the supreme, among the primary element of Job's anguish and perplexity at this time was Job's inability to make personal contact with God. It's like a man purchased a piece of land. In fact, let us make it a little more dire than that. A friend of a person left a suitcase at his house. And one day the police, they just sweep in and take the suitcase. It was in a corner there for months. And when they search it, it was marijuana and cocaine. And on the search, the man search, he cannot find the friend of his who left it there. So you know it's imprisonment. Job's back was against the wall. He wanted to make personal contact with the only person who had the answer to his problem. And he couldn't. So this was one of Job's perplexity and problem and confusion. That inability to make personal contact with the Almighty God. In fact, chapter 9 and verse 33 get more directly to that point. Chapter 9 and verse 33 of the book of Job. Let us hear it.
Nor is there any mediator.
Nor is there any mediator
between us.
Between us.
Who may lay his hand on us both.
Job wants a come between. He wants a liar. You see, that can bring both of them together. All of this. Let me hear it again.
Nor is there any mediator.
Nor. There is no mediator to come between me, Job, and the Almighty God. Read on. That may.
That may lay his hand on us both.
Mm-hmm.
Let him take his rod away from me.
Brothers and sisters. So this was one of Job's perplexity and confusion. The other one, of course, was being in darkness in respect to the reason. Why am I going through all of this? As human beings, we have had reason to ask ourselves, why me? Job asked himself that. The suffering and the tragedies. But brothers and sisters, coming up from the depth of Job's being or person, and from the depth of this man's faith and belief in the rightness of God. I noticed I didn't even say righteousness, but the rightness of God, that whatever God does, God is right. Coming up, that is in the midst of all the tragedies and suffering and confusion. Coming up from the belief and recognition in this man that God is just and that God is right. We have words of encouragement from the passage that was read in chapter 23 and verse 10 again. Let us hear it.
But he knoweth the way that I take.
Wait, brothers and sisters. May I? In all that you and I may go through as unpleasant experiences, we must never lose sight in respect to God's justice and rightness. Because that will help us not to sin, and it will help us to hold on. What he said there, brother?
But he knoweth the way that I take.
God, with all that I am going through, God knows the way that is in me. And we're going to look at that in little more detail. He knows the way that I take.
When he has tried me.
When God has tried me, as he is now trying me, or permitting me to be tried,
I shall come forth as gold.
I shall come forth as gold. What is the title of the lesson, Brother Mitchell? Confidence in the divine solution. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. Job said that in all that I am going through, at the end of the day, I have confidence in the rightness of God and in the justice of God, that while I am going through trial, like the Goldsmith test gold, at the end of the day, I'm going to come out as gold. You know, I spoke here and encouraged the Christian to make sure that you do not just believe in God, but the right kind of God. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? A lot of us have false and cracky concept of God. Not a lot of people out there. Let me show. The ungodly men and women are so way off that when ungodly men and women out there go and buy their laptop, they will actually believe that God will help them to win. They realize that God can come out of covetousness, and that God would have no part with that. That's how far off the ungodly and the ungodly men and women out there, they believe they know God's word. That's right. They will tell you how good God is to win the lottery. When you win the lottery, I know God helped you to win that. Because that grows out of sin. What is the point? Many of us, even in the church, we have a wrong, a false, a cracky concept of God. To a great extent, Job has some proper view of God. Because he believes in the divine solution. That all his problem and unpleasant experiences, the Almighty God will redirect them, even if they are sent by Satan. God will redirect them. The utterance we have just read in chapter 10 and verse 23 revolves around two characters. That utterance revolves around two characters. Job and the Almighty God. And all the pronouns that you and I read up there in verse 10 of 23. They are talking about the Almighty God and Job. Wait. In the book of Job, we meet many personalities. In the book of Job, we meet Satan. That's right. In fact, he's one of the prime movers in the book of Job. In the book of Job, We meet Eliaphaz. We meet Bildad. In the book of Job, we meet Zophar and Elihu. These are some of the character. But in chapter 23 and verse 10, the utterance of conviction and faith coming from Job's mouth, it involves only God and Job. They are the ones who are under consideration in this passage. He knows the way that is with me. In fact, that is the more correct translation of that passage. He knows the way that is with me. Watch here, watch here. In the meantime, Job is implying that my inability to make personal contact with God does not limit God's knowledge of me and my ways. That's the implication, you know. He knows the way that is with me. That is, even though I, Job, am ignorant, even though I, Job, am confused and I'm perplexed, I want answer to the reason behind the tragedies that I have experienced. I've lost my children, I've lost my wife, I've lost my wealth, I've lost my health. I need somebody to explain to me. I would like to understand myself better. But while recognizing his own confusion and his own ignorance, he recognized that with God, God knows what was in him. The Almighty God knows both the ways of the wicked and the ways of the righteous. The Almighty God knows what is in the wicked and the ungodly person, and he knows what is in the godly men and women. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6 and chapter 146 and verse 9. Let us hear it.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous.
God knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way that is with me. I am confused, Job is saying, and I said that throughout the book of Job in many ways. But God knows what is within me. You have just read it in Psalms, far ye.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Then 146 verse 9, the passage just read is the fact that God knows what is in man, both the wicked man and the ungodly men and women. Read.
The Lord preserveth the strangers.
Mm-hmm.
He revealeth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down.
You talk about turning upside down. It's God who can turn upside down. He knows what is in us. In Job utterance in 23:10. We notice two important things. We notice one, Job's self-consciousness. I'll speak a little more about that. And we notice two, Job's consciousness of God. Now that is important. It is as if to light. Yes, light. Met inside of Job reasoning. Light on Job's personality. Explain better, Brother Nichiren. We would call it introspection. In Job's experience, one of the lights was in respect to Job's consciousness of himself. The other one was in respect to Job's consciousness of the Almighty God. Wait, in ways that Job was not conscious before. Job was a godly man, knew God, served God. But brothers and sisters, I have said it here for years that circumstances do not make the man, it reveals the man. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It is as you and I go through different experiences in life, it reveals what is in us. And that is a fact. That is a fact. Job's suffering, the tragedy of losing his children and everything, this brought out of Job thinking and whatever that would not have come out had he not gone through this suffering. So it also bring out, as I've said, introspection and light. Not only introspection, but light on the rightness and the justice of the Almighty God. There are many men and women that are unable to carry out this introspection. That's right. Wait, did you know that as long as things run smoothly and nicely and easy, for many of us, we never take time off to introspect, to self-examine? And this is why certain experiences in life, unpleasant as they may be, they do us good, because they help us to think. The rightness and the justice. Let me hear 2 Corinthians 13:5. And Ephesians 4:17-18. Quick.
2 Corinthians 13:5.
Yeah.
Examine yourselves.
Examine yourself.
Whether ye be in the faith.
Whether you are truly a child of God or not.
Prove your own self.
Prove your own self.
Know ye not your own selves?
It's a challenge, Paul says. Don't you know yourself? A lot of times we don't. And a lot of times it takes trial. Huh? It takes suffering. Sometimes even tragedies. For us to do introspection. It did that to Job. So here you have the Apostle Paul encouraging Christians to examine ourselves. Carry out introspection. He said, don't you know yourself?
How that Jesus Christ is in you?
You don't know whether Christ is in you or not. Huh? Look at Ephesians 4:17-18.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened.
Christian, don't act like the ungodly. Yeah. Ungodly men and women, their understanding is darkened. Brother Mitchell, I'm not a Christian, but you pass your place when you say I am. Brother Mitchell, if you ever know how much computer science and engineering this and what I know, you know all of that, but if you don't know God, truly, because you see, that's the ultimate outcome of all of life. To know God and to relate to Him. When you don't know that, then what it says their understanding is darkened. Read that again.
Having their understanding darkened.
Having their understanding darkened.
Being alienated.
Being alienated. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Mean they are far
from the life of God.
From the life of God. Brother. Must fall in. The life of God is the Christian life. Read on.
Because of the ignorance that is in them.
Christians, so that's why he's encouraging us. Don't act like the ungodly because you know better. And then he said, examine yourselves if you really know better. Yes. We are to have enlightenment. So here we are. Are we all there? Here we have a man going through hell bereaved. Are we all there? Here we have a man searching for answers. Here we have a man in deep perplexities and confusion. Here we have a man, Job, stripped of his individuality. Here we have a man suffering with a sense of inability to make personal contact with the only person who can give him the answer to his confusion. That's Job. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of his searching, in the midst of his perplexity, in the midst of his confusion, in the midst of being stripped of his individuality, in the midst of his suffering and his sense of inability to make contact with God, coming from his lips, coming from the lips of Job are truth of tremendous and everlasting value and importance. What truth is that? He knoweth the way that is with me. I am confused. God is not confused. I am perplexed. God is not perplexed. I am searching for answers to my problem. God is not searching for answers to your problem. You need but know this and trust in Him. He knoweth the way that is with me. May I? The King James read, He knoweth the way that I go. But it is not so much about a path to be trodden. The King James translation of this brings that out. But that's not what the text is emphasizing. Are we all there? It's not that there is a path that I am taking that you know God. That's not what the text is about. The text is rather about a potentiality and a possibility residing inside of Job. What Job actually was expressing is that the Almighty God knows what is in me. That's the concept. When you read the text from other a translation, that is, God knows all that is in man. And in this particular case, yes, I'm going through all of this. My friends are coming up with all sorts of answers. How ungodly I was and how sinful I was and all of that. But God knows what is in me. Psalms 139, verse 1 through verse 4.
O Lord.
O Lord.
You have searched me and known me.
You searched me and you know me.
You know my sitting down and my rising up.
When I sit down, you know, and when I get up, you know, God.
You understand my thoughts afar off.
When my thoughts have not even yet come to my mind, you know that. When he said, you understand my thoughts afar off. When I have not gone yet to think the thinking, you know, God. Read on, brother.
You comprehend my path and my lying down.
You comprehend my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
You are acquainted with some of my ways.
All of my ways.
Brother Jonathan, there is no psychiatrist or psychologist that can claim this. Only God is acquainted with all our ways. May I? What verse you start?
Verse 3.
Read verse 4 too.
For there is not a word on my tongue.
There is not a word on my tongue.
But behold, O
Lord. But behold,
O Lord.
O Lord.
You know it altogether.
Whatever comes to my mouth, you know it, my God. May I? Brothers and sisters. Job woke up to the fact that there is purifying power. There is purifying power in affliction. Job woke up to that fact in going through all that he went through. I shall come forth as gold. All the trials and the tragedies and the suffering, the perplexity that I'm going through, the just God who is redirecting these. Brother Mitchell, why do you use redirecting? You see, what you must keep in mind as we get down to where I close this part of the lesson is that the suffering was really sent by Satan. Are we all there? But the Almighty God have Job's suffering under management. That's why I use the word redirect, because God, what Satan intend for Job in this suffering, God had a different plan, and it is God's plan that's going to prevail. And if you say, if you are a child of God, just beg God for strength to help you to go through whatever you're going through. Because God has it under management. And Job said, he will come out as gold, and you too can come out as gold. Are we out here? So Job came out understanding that there is, in fact, purifying power in affliction. Job's utterance acknowledged that the process of life. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell, the process of life? By being alive and living and going through all that we go through, from a moral and a spiritual perspective, the process of life is a testing. Are we all there? It is a testing for gold. Are we all there? Job came out realizing this, that not only that his life was a testing for gold, but that his life had meaning and purpose beyond here and now. And that within each of us, there is an admixture of a lie. You're confusing me now, Brother Mitchell. You know I always unconfuse you. There is an admixture of a lie. Now, there the man I preach God's word and he now gone into geology. Let me make a statement on this, and next week we pick up on this. Within each of us, Job come to recognize that. Watch the statement again in 23:10. Quick, brother.
But he knows the way that I take.
Yes, he knows the way that I take, or the way that is in me. Read.
When he has tested me.
Wait. Job is lying himself here to a lie. And that is, if you look up the meaning of this word, it's the mixture of metal. It's a word that is really used a lot in geology. Even when they mine for gold and silver, this word is used, a mixture of metal. So what Job is saying here, the Almighty God is the tester. And in each of us there is an admixture of alloy. There is zinc, gold, diamond, name it, in the alloy. But you know, when God finished putting me through the fire, what's going to come out is gold. I would like to pick up on this next week. Because let me just read a passage, let you know that the New Testament have this concept too. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, and verse 12.
James 1, from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
What verse is that?
Verse 4.
Read verse 4.
But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete.
And step now to verse 12.
Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to those who love him.
So here the Bible talks about being tempted, being tried. And there's more. When we pick up here next week, God's willing, we'll show that Job is likening himself to alloy, a mixture of metal. And at the end of the day, if you permit God, God will bring the best out of you. Go. When him finish putting me through the mill, I will come out as gold. All the other unrefined metal, the fire, that is the trial, will deal with them. But I will come out as gold. What do you need? In fact, I'm sorry to point out that the positive outcome of coming out as gold is not for every man and woman, but for the child of God who remains faithful. And the Bible, in fact, look, you have it there, brother. Look, I'm just giving you a little taste of some of what is coming up in chapter 23 and verse. We have been reading verse 10. But it's important that we keep in mind that coming out of trials, tragedy, temptation, overcoming, coming out as gold is for the faithful, trusting, enduring children of God. Look at verse 11 and 12.
My foot hath held it, his steps.
You understand? I didn't backslide. Are you there? My foot had held it.
Steps.
That is, when I stepped, I didn't slip. Read on.
His way have I kept.
What did he say, dear brother?
His way have I kept.
Read on.
And not declined.
I did not decline from God's way. Is that 11 and 12?
Verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips.
Wait. So, Brother Jonathan, that's why now verse 10 has a meaning.
Yes.
I will come out as gold based on the fact and the truth of verse 11 and 12. We must remain faithful. If not, we will be swallowed up when our time of trials and tragedy comes. But God does not want us to be swallowed up. He wants us to remain faithful irrespective of what. Come next week and we will finish looking on what God bring out of the alloy, the gold, and whether you or not will permit him to bring that out or not. Thank God for men like Job. May we find the end result as positive as Job. He did not turn from God's righteousness. If you are here today, if you have never turned to God's righteousness, then you can turn to God's righteousness today. Job had turned to it early in his life and he never abandoned it. Christians, if you have backslidden or in the process of backsliding, remember one of the questions that came up was, Paul asked, examine yourself whether you are in the faith or not. He said, don't you know yourself? Some of us don't. But I encourage you to examine yourself. Are you way out little by little? Then, what a good opportunity for you to reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Job tells us that in this life, we are going to suffer trials and whatever. What I am saying is that many men and women have been swallowed up by tragedy, problem, trial, suffering, sickness, marital, domestic problem, financial. Many men and women, having gone through these things, they never survived because they didn't have the strength. You and I on our own do not have the strength. But when we are children of God, He will help us to go through them and come out as gold. But let us not fool ourselves in respect to what we are in the sight of God. That's why the Holy Spirit in Paul asks that we examine. But I appeal again to those among us who are not Christians. Pray and submit your life to Jesus Christ. Yes. Form an alliance with Him. Embrace His will with the determination that you will always strive to live by His will. That's the only way that whatever you go through, God will see that you come out as gold. If you are here today, you have never gotten under the influence of the blood of Christ, you can come believing that Jesus Christ went through it, carried the cross of Calvary to pay the price for your sin, that it matters not how you try, you could pay for your sin. You come believing that. But you must not stop faith or belief. You must, as a result of your belief, repent of your sin. Somebody say, Mr. Mitchell, what is that? Repentance involves turning. In fact, that's what the word means. It is a metamorphosis. It is the process by which an ugly caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. It means change. Turn from sin to righteousness. That's right. That's what the word repentance implies. Turn from self to Jesus Christ. That's what the word repentance implies. Now you enthrone yourself as the most important person in the world. When you repent, you take self off the throne and you put Jesus Christ. Repentance means you'll turn from the ungodly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ. Repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. Repentance is only a resolution you made to stop living for Satan and sin and living by your own wisdom, doing just what you like. That's the implication of repentance. But all the sin you have committed all your life are still there when you repent. Wait. Just deciding to repent doesn't remove your sin. People don't realize that all the sin they committed, God start holding them responsible. Those sins are still held against you. That's true. All the sin when you come in, from your what? 12, 13, 11, 12, 13, 4. All those things. But Brother Mitchell, me pray for forgiveness many times. That's not the way you deal with your sin according to God's plan. Prayer is a privilege of the child of God. The alien sin, the man or woman who have never gotten under the influence of Christ's blood. Now, that's what you need to deal with your sin. And you know what? Christ has a way to get under the influence of his blood. So when you repent, you mustn't stop there. You must confess Christ. I didn't say confess your sin. Because if we start there, you wouldn't remember all of them anyway. And then, for some, enough, no sin. You see, you wouldn't remember them. It's to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian, dear? No, you must get under the influence of Jesus' blood through baptism. In fact, the Bible tells us that when you are baptized, you get into Jesus' death. That's what the Bible says. Did you hear that? When you get baptized, according to God, get into Christ's death, where his blood was shed. Today you can step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. So that as you go through life, the Almighty God will be by your side to help you go through whatever the trials, whatever the problem is. Let us stand as we sing, and as you come forward.